If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. Welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host, JP John Paz. With me, of course, the star of the show, the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, JP. How are you, my friend?
Doing good, doing good. So what do you think about the current state of the bloodline, you know, post-WrestleMania? Obviously, we talked about it last week. Maybe we were a little surprised that, maybe you weren't, but maybe I was a little surprised that Cody lost. But what did you think just kind of going forward of what they're doing? Because it seems like there's tension within the group because the Usos lost. You know what I mean? Like Roman and Solo are kind of not particularly fond of them right now. So what do you think about the storyline moving forward, given that Roman beat Cody?
I think that, they're expanding the bloodline. You know, like when you asked me, I said, there's no way that Roman can lose. I mean, that's the best angle I've ever seen. And now they're expanding it. And, you know, the thing they did with Brock and Cody, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be a tie-in there. Like he would be a paid assassin because of Paulie.
Yep.
Paulie was, there's so many storylines. And it's... Is it Jimmy or Jay that's the one that's on the outs?
Jay.
Now, like I said, you have Cody, you have Kevin, you have Sammy, you have Seth, you have McIntyre, and maybe you have Jay. You had six baby faces and Jake Paul, you got six or seven baby faces he can draw with. He could march another year without getting beat. And here's something. I heard some people say, well, you can't have a belt on a guy that long anymore. Why not? They do it in boxing. How long's Fury been the champion?
A while. It's been a couple of years.
Before that, Klitschko, how long was he the champion?
Forever. Yeah. Yep.
Lennox Lewis. Mike Tyson. Why do we have to go against the grain?
Yeah, it's interesting that people were kind of complaining about, oh, the title reign is so long, it's 950 plus days, but the ratings have been going up. So it's like, I guess that isn't actually true. The complaints are not valid.
They're saying, oh, this people are so mad. Isn't that what they're supposed to be when a heel cheats the win?
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of ludicrous, I think.
I love it that, okay, you build up Drew McIntyre, you think he's going to win and he loses. It's almost like, wow, they did that booking geniusly because they built a contender up. You thought that the champion would lose and he still won. Then they did the same thing with Sammy and the same thing with Cody. I was like, isn't that just really good booking by Triple H?
Yes, and the one that I think gets overlooked was when he was a McIntyre because they were in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And then isn't that the first appearance of Silo?
Solo, yep. Solo. Yep.
That's brilliant booking. The guy that's never been on your TV comes in and has got a connection and you don't scratch your head why he came down. It's part of the family. That one, to me, of all the ones, was the best one because, okay, Cody, they're both, even though they're the Samoan dynasty, everybody knows Roman's born in this country. But you go into the UK in Cardiff, right, at the castle, you had to think it was going to switch there. And then you bring a guy in from the outside that nobody knows. Brilliant, I thought. He's done a remarkable job.
Oh, he's been unbelievable. Even yeah. Sammy technically losing in Canada, his home country too. So yeah. They've done a good job of making you really think, oh, there's no way that Roman's going to lose, and he somehow wins. I love that.
Yeah, I do too. They're doing a great job.
And it's been pretty much for 20 years, the ratings have been on a steady decline. The last few years, they either maintained, and this year, you know, the last year, they've actually went up from the previous year, which we haven't seen, like I said, in probably 20 plus years. So you almost kind of don't want to take the title off the guy who's the main centerpiece of all that.
Why would you? If you're making money, why would you go in to, okay. Remember when they beat Goldberg?
Yes. Yep.
There's the answer. Things went awry.
Yep.
If you're drawing ratings and money, don't get too cute and outfox yourself. If you go to the racetrack and you bet on a horse 15 times and he wins 15 times, why are you going to bet on the nag that came in fifth?
Yep.
Think you get a better chance with the horse that won 15 times for you, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yeah, definitely.
And I'm not saying that the horse that came in fifth can't eventually win for you, but why break the streak? Go when it's hot.
That's the thing. It's just like everything is working. I mean, the merchandise is killing it. The ratings have been good. I mean, every segment that Roman is on is always, you know, it always gets a bit of a jump. So it's one of the things, like, they finally have a megastar that they haven't had in years. They finally have a guy at the top where, you know, not less people are watching. I know everyone loves Cena. They call him the GOAT. But when they put Cena on top, less and less people watch. It's factual. information that's out there for everybody. You put CNN on top, it became a PG product and less people watch. So the guy could be the top guy, but he's just not bringing in an audience. I mean, he's bringing less of an audience in. So it's funny. So like then Reigns is on top. He seems to be bringing more of an audience in. Then you get the people complaining about him being champ. It's just funny. They're like, they don't really know the business.
They don't know the business. They really don't know what they want.
Yeah.
And here's something that I thought about the other day. The Rock is so over, but he's so spread out, right? He's so spread out.
Yep.
And he's had a few not great reviews, Black Adam, Baywatch. I don't know how the football is going. You know, they haven't renewed Young Rock, which I think is great. I like it, but maybe it's for mostly guys that really love the business. Next year, he may really want to get that shove to be in WrestleMania. And maybe if this thing with Cody and Roman win goes, maybe if they got to the Rumble and The Rock entered and he won, he could wrestle either one of them if Cody beat Roman during the year.
Yep.
I mean, that would draw.
Cool.
Roman, Rock would draw. Maybe it would be an opportunity for The Rock to push one of his movies or a project that he's doing. Because, I mean, what did they draw? 168,000 people in 2 days?
Pretty much, yep.
It was all over the news. I mean, it takes the headlines off of everything. Maybe that, I just think they did the right thing.
When you look at The Rock and Roman, I mean, they knew last summer that that wasn't going to be the headliner, but it's like everybody was clamoring for it. Everybody wants it. Tribal Chief versus, you know, the legend of the family, the legend of wrestling in The Rock. I feel like WrestleMania 40 could be a nice landing spot for Rock and Roman. That would be huge.
Yeah, it certainly would.
The Rock, you're right. I mean, Black Adam wasn't well received, and now apparently he's out of the DC universe with, I guess, James Gunn, whoever is in charge of The Rock, is not going to have Black Adam 2, and I know they tease Superman being a part of it, so he will not. So maybe, I don't know, maybe he's going to be looking for some redemption in the wrestling business. I don't know, but he is doing almost too much right now.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to look for a redemption in the wrestling business. I think he'll be producing all kinds of movies in the next few years, and maybe he'll pass the torch to Roman to become, you know, the superhero. I could see them both doing a movie together. You know, I know they did the one where they were in some Fast and Furious, but, you know, there's so much for him, but it would really get the eyeballs, like, not that he needs them, but it gives The Rock another outlet to go to these talk shows and talk about something other than his movies.
WrestleMania 40. I know, you know, every WrestleMania is huge, but 40 years, you figure you want something absolutely huge. Some might say huge, yeah, and monumental, but, you know, you may want something really, really something that's going to get everybody's attention. Hey, 40 years of WWE, 40 years of WrestleMania. Rock Roman would definitely do that. To me, anyway, that would be the biggest match you could make.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So as far as the topic at hand, what we want to discuss today, we want to talk about an old legend, old friend of yours, Jake the Snake Roberts. When did you meet the old WWE Hall of Famer?
I think I met him in the Carolinas for a brief period. But then he came to Florida and Dusty teamed him and I up. It was a great experience. Jake's work is phenomenal. I know people always say that, but if you're in watching him from the corner, you can't believe how good he is. And that's when Jake and I had a snake together when we were a tag team. We had a guy carrying a snake. You know, we had that Army of Darkness, and we had guys carrying snakes, so maybe Jake got the idea. And then one of the hardest angles I ever did was Christmas night when it was in a cage, me and Dusty lose or leave town, and I had done jobs 2 weeks around in Tampa. We went to St. Pete. Everybody thought I was leaving, and Jake came down dressed as Santa Claus. There were four or five other Santa Clauses, and passed me the gimmick, and I beat Dusty, and that what caused the Midnight Rider appear.
I love that. And I love that you kind of maybe were the influence behind the snake. Has he ever said that or ever agreed to that? No, or what did he think?
I mean, you can go back and look at pictures of us. We had guys carry the snakes for us. So, I mean, I don't think anybody, I mean, the Sheik had snakes, you know, John Tolles had snake. So I'm not saying that he saw that I had them. We had them together. So it was no big deal.
When you look at him in 1982, I guess it was when he comes in, did you think, I know you said you thought he was a good worker, this, but did you think the character, like the way he kind of carried himself and where he was going to be, did you kind of see that? Because when you look at Jake the Snake in the WWF, it's like, man, nobody's like this guy. He's very much like he scared the hell out of you. He'd be intimidating, but he's not going to yell. You know what I mean? Did you kind of sense that character from him? Like, wow, this guy's got it.
I learned a lot from Jake watching him. When you watch wrestlers of that era, it was like a Saturday Night Live skit. They were screaming about everything.
Yep.
Jake, you had to turn up the TV. He made you listen. One of the greatest talkers, and I don't hear anybody talk about how great his interviews were. I mean, I read all of them, they're in the top five. In no particular order, but I mean, he was fabulous.
I always thought that too. It's like, man, his promos were awesome. I love that, like, the guy doesn't need to yell, do that generic wrestle voice, you know what I mean? Or that generic wrestling thing, like, I'm going to kill you in Milwaukee, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
He was always calm, cool, but almost like a scary kind of way. Even as a baby face, it was like scary a little bit.
He was a serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he had no empathy. He was very, very good at his work and his interviews. And then we got to work with some of the greatest baby faces, Dusty, Blackjack, Barry, hosts of others that came through. And Jake was the consummate worker.
When he came in 1982 to Florida, who paired you guys? Is that you wanted to be together, or no, was that Eddie Dusty putting you together?
No, Dusty. Dusty.
Oh, so it was Dusty put you guys together. What did he think about that? He just thought natural pairing together?
Yeah, I think I had never seen Jake's interviews before, but I think, yeah, our interviews were pretty similar. And he thought that Jake would fit good with me and I'd fit good with Jake.
What did you think about the chemistry in ring with him when you guys were tagging?
Oh, he was by far. The work was completely different. My work was completely different than his. He was so smooth. I was a little bit, I healed a lot more than he did. He was a technical heel. He was very good, very good.
When you look at him, and obviously you're probably about 5'8 or so. He might be, what, 6'6", 6'7"? I mean, he's huge. You don't even think about how big he is.
He was about 6'6". When he was younger, I bet you he was 6'6".
Man, he's just – it's funny because there's so many guys in that WWF era or really the 80s era of just wrestling in general that are just monster guys. I mean, oh, there were so many big guys, and he just had like a skinny frame to him. DiBiase kind of falls in that same territory. Yeah. But he had that skinny frame, so you don't think he's that big. And then you meet him, and like, my God, this guy is a giant.
And wide shoulders, long arms, huh?
Long arms.
They look like they hang down to his knees.
Yeah.
Yeah. And quick. That's what I always thought. He was very quick. and crisp when he hit a finish. Crisp. I mean, that DDT was revolutionary. And now they do it for a high spot. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And he would, I loved when he would go for it in the baby face and grab the rope or something, you know what I mean? Before he eventually, he never, nobody ever kicked out of it that I know of. And I loved how he would milk it. He'll go for it, and the guy would grab the rope or whatever. But he, Jake just was a pleasure to watch him.
And you think about that DDT. All the people copy him and try to do it. Nobody did it like him either. I mean, Raven might be the only one that's like close where it like almost hits that executioner. I mean, of course, Arn Anderson was good too, but it's just like the way Jake hit it, it looked like he killed the guy.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, and you mentioned two of my friends, I don't think anybody came close to Jake. You remember when he gave it to Steamboat on the floor?
Mm.
Oh.
That was vicious.
Yeah.
Knocked his ass out for real.
Yeah.
Although in his defense, he told him not, he like, let's not do it on the floor. And Steamboat said, no, let's do it on the floor. So kind of Steamboat's fault a little bit. And Vince's fault, obviously.
Well, it was George Scott's fault. He was the booker.
Well, yeah, the booker, the George. Yeah. Yep.
And here's something. I don't think they got enough out of that angle. You know what I mean? They could have really got something out of that angle.
And yep. They didn't feud long enough. Yep.
No, I don't. And they didn't, you know, they didn't have doctors come on like they usually do and say he's got a, maybe they didn't want to say concussion back then because of lawsuits or something. But I mean, they could have really milked that. And anytime that Jake went to go to give it to him, they could, a doctor could have said, you know, this could paralyze or do brain damage or whatever. And it would add a little more to the match.
Yeah, they could have got some more mileage. I know they have the big match at the big event, but they could have done more with that feud for sure.
Yeah.
So going back to Florida just for a second. So when you're with Jake, is he developing like this kind of dark persona? Did he have it within him? Did you help him kind of further along his character?
No, I think we worked well together on the interviews, but he had, I mean, Jake was a great psychologist. His psychology was impeccable. And he just had it, and he probably honed it in Florida, but I think that when he finally, the light clicked on, what his persona was going to be, he had it right from the day one.
With Jake, right? I mean, it just seems like something is there, not like he's disturbed or whatever, he's bothered, but you could tell there's something maybe deep. And obviously, if we've seen his A&E biography or at the resurrection of Jake the Snake or even Beyond the Mat from many years ago, obviously Grizzly Smith, not the best father in the world. And I know a lot of people know that story, but did you know Grizzly Smith? And did you know like kind of where Jake's darkness kind of came from?
Here's something crazy. I don't think, but maybe a handful of people knew the darkness that Grizzly had. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, there was always jokes. You know, Grizzly was an agent in Florida and other territories, and there was always a joke. Oh, there's Grizz talking to young girls, laughing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to speak ill of the dead, but he ruined his children's lives.
I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, all that stories that came out about him is pedophilia and being, you know, assaulting and sexually assaulting and all these other stories about Grizzly Smith that came out. It just seems like, man, with Jake and Robin and Sam Houston, I mean, ruined all the kids' lives and even going further into that, you know, Jake's mother. I mean, so many lives he pretty much ruined and it was just a monster.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a monster. Yeah.
It's weird because, like you said, only a few handful of people knew that. I mean, he worked for Florida. He worked for Watts in Mid-South. He worked for WWF. He worked for WCW. I mean, he always was working in the wrestling business. And I guess it was like one of those unknown secrets. And obviously he wouldn't have had a job, I don't think, if everybody knew what he was really all about.
I would pray that he wouldn't have had a job. But, I mean... It's crazy that I'm sure there had to be some people that knew or at least suspected and turned the other way. You know what I mean? I mean, we were talking before we rolled about how crazy the world is. Well, this was, I'm glad to see that there's been a spotlight on this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because kids that grow up with that environment, they're saddled with a lot of problems early on. You know, I've known a few people with those problems, and boy, it's a struggle for them to get through it and get onto the other side.
Did you see that within Jake? There was a struggle there?
There was always something with Jake you could see a sadness.
It seemed like he turned that, obviously later on, and we'll get that later, like drugs and alcohol problems and stuff, but it seemed like for wrestling, it seems like he turned that into like part of his character, or he almost used that to feed off of, and he would use that, and you're almost were like, man, this guy, he's deep. Like, you don't know what it is, but he's deep.
Yeah, I think he could. Like you said, people didn't understand where he was getting it, but he was reaching back and channeling it to do wrestling interviews, thank God, because, you know, he wasn't channeling to do something crazy. And I just saw Jake last time I spent some time with him, but he was so positive now. He looks the best I've ever seen him look. He's upbeat. He's a positive guy. Come through on the other side. My hats are off to him.
To me, it's amazing that, you know, he's still with us, because obviously that stuff from his dad definitely led to using drugs and alcohol. You can't say, oh, you know, that's the only reason, but I feel like that was a big reason why he kind of fell into that and became, you know, what he became as far as getting addicted and different things, almost trying to mask the pain or trying to maybe ignore the issue or just really trying to just black it out of what happened in his past and how, you know, his dad is basically, you know, a version of like the devil, you know, in certain instances, you could say, you know. So it just seems like he kind of went to drugs and alcohol and stuff almost to mask some of the pain.
I think you're 100% right. I mean, can you imagine, because I can't, him going to bed at night, and we all have nightmares sometimes, but his nightmares must have been so frightening. And then, you know, you're not sleeping, and then you reach out for some kind of something to take your mind off it. One thing leads to another. Jake is, I got to really put Jake over. He's a strong guy to overcome what he overcame and be successful. Hit rock bottom and bounce back up, and he's doing better than he ever has. My hats are off to him.
It's amazing. And a lot of that has to do with DDP, who felt like he owed Jake a lot, because Jake was kind of one of his mentors in the business. And he was the one that was telling DDP, you know, let's watch some of your tape, or you need to do this, you need to do that. This is obviously the early 90s. And he kind of took DDP under his wing. So DDP almost felt like, hey, I owe this guy one of the best ever, one of the best to do it, a legend in this business. Let's resurrect Jake the Snake Roberts. And obviously they made an awesome documentary about it, the resurrection of Jake. I mean, awesome job by DDP to kind of say, hey, you know what? I owe you one. I know you could do it. People, nobody believes it, but you got to believe in yourself. But I think you could turn it all around. And he shockingly has.
Yes, he has. Another guy that he's helped tremendously is Buff Bagwell. I just saw Buff last weekend in Indianapolis. Buff is been clean and sober for 9 months. He looks fabulous. And Diamond has helped him quite a bit. So Diamond's, you know, he's done some good for people. He certainly has.
Helped out Scott Hall, right? I mean, yeah. he's done a lot of definitely a lot of good things, a lot of positive things. But it's crazy because if you look at Jake and you see the Heroes of Wrestling pay-per-view, or you see some other things that he was involved with in the 90s and even into the 2000s, you're like, man, there's no way this guy's ever going to get clean and sober. This is going to be a really sad ending to what was once a great story. And he bucked the trend. He bucked the system. There's no way. He's totally turned it around.
Yes. Yes, he has.
So in 1982, 1983 even, when Jake and you are hanging and banging in Florida, Dusty obviously is a big part of your feud, Andre the Giant, Barry Windham. Is there guys that you guys, I don't know, just like to work with, or guys that you felt really worked well with you and Jake?
Yeah, Dusty and Barry. And Dusty and Blackjack, but Dusty and Barry, because Barry would do all that great selling and Dusty would come in for the huge comebacks. Yeah. I mean, it's sad that people never saw Barry Windham at his peak. He was fabulous.
With Jake and him kind of, the territory days, if you will, like he wasn't going to be in Florida forever, right?
Right.
So then Jake, he moves on from Florida. He goes, but, he's kind of traveling around, but he ends up in Mid-South with Watts. Then, of course, he ends up in the WWF, where I think he really made a huge name for himself, right? I mean, because Vince gives him the moniker, the Snake, and he gives him, although he kind of always had Jake the Snake, it's easy, but he actually physically gives him the Snake and gives him more of a character. Do you think that is, obviously just like his breakthrough, and that's kind of where he hit the mainstream?
Oh, yeah, but he had done it in Florida, but he really broke out in Watts' territory. He did really, really good there.
I was kind of fascinated to learn that he actually didn't like snakes. You know what I mean? Because you see him with the snake, and I was like, wait a second, wait, is he lying? Like, he's afraid of snakes. He said he absolutely despised snakes. He did not like them. Is that something that surprised you, or you knew that?
I knew it because the guy that had the snakes, we used to see them in the Edmund cages or in a bag, and Jake hated them. Yeah.
Why, though? Like, just the fear of the snakes? Just I guess 50% of the population probably has it?
Yeah, I think it's a very – I think that most people, that's the number one fear is snakes.
They always say snakes and public speaking, a lot of people are afraid of for some reason.
Yeah, I think public speaking, but I'm talking about entities,
Yes,
either
yes.
Clowns or, snakes, public speaking. I think that's a whole different level.
But the way he carried himself, they're just holding the snakes, kissing the snakes, licking. You would never in a million years think that he hated snakes. You would think he probably owned a snake at home. You know what I mean? That's how invested he was.
Right.
I always find that funny. It's I can't believe that. That something in wrestling that you would think that's bullshit. That's bullshit. But Jake the Snake doesn't like snakes. That's always fascinated me.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
So in WWF, we're talking about the Steamboat feud before. We're talking about him being a heel. Did you think that he worked better as a heel or as a babyface?
Either or, but as a heel, he was tremendous. Babyface is fabulous, too. But a heel, that interviews are so dark and scary to me.
Do you have a favorite that sticks out, or one that maybe a subject matter that you thought that he always hit well upon?
He always hit well about scaring you. That he was ultimate evil, and he had some kind of resistance to pain. you thought, this guy is not all there. He's evil, and I'm afraid he's going to hurt the opponent. That's what he got over to me, anyway, to the people, I thought.
When you look at him, right, it's just like you're always fascinated and, like, on the edge of your seat wondering what he's going to say next, because his very soft-spoken manner, the way he gets, the way he looked at the camera, right? I mean, his, like you said, for his psychology was off the charts, but you believed everything he said. That's what got me. He's very believable.
Oh, you buy into everything? I'm sure cult leaders are like Jake. You buy into yes. everything they say. He was so believable. That's what got him over. He was so believable.
My whole thing with him is like, okay, does Vince want to make him a heel or a face? He could kind of do both. But when he turns him face, the crowd was starting to get behind him. But right before that, he almost had a feud with Hulk Hogan, which obviously would have been big business. They did a couple house shows in like the Rhode Island area and stuff, and they were kind of testing the waters. But apparently they didn't like that he was getting some of the reaction. Like, usually when Hogan wrestled somebody, Hogan's getting 100, they're getting 0. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're yeah. getting booed, he's getting cheered. Did you ever hear that story, or did you think that was true, that maybe Jake was getting cheered a little bit too much in those house show matches?
Well, I'm sure that he had a lot of fans, and I know the story. He's told me it himself. But you got to think on the long-range picture. Could Vince afford to let Jake put a pinhole in that balloon of Hogan?
No, can't take a chance.
Yeah, you can't take a chance. It's just like we talked about Roman Reigns. You couldn't take a chance of beating him. Same thing. I mean, I know they would have drawn huge money, and maybe it wouldn't have mattered, but you can't take that chance.
I always find that fascinating when people say, oh, Piper should have won the title, or Bundy should have won the title, or, you know, this person, that person. And I even, yeah, you know, I used to be Bundy's real life, like, manager stuff. I used to do a lot of his bookies. I used to mention that to him, and he said, why would you take the title of Hogan? He was making so much money. For a chance of trying to yeah. make more, it's almost like a chance. It's like, well, you can't make more than Hogan made. So it's like, don't
do
it.
That's, John, you know what that's doing? Playing Russian roulette.
Right.
Why you want to outsmart yourself? You're selling out everywhere you go. Merchandise is through the roof. Ratings are through the roof. And you want to change it? That doesn't make sense.
Yep. So that's why we're going back to Jake. Even that meme kind of makes perfect sense. If he even getting like an inkling, 25% of the pop or whatever, I think Vince was like, nah, let's not. But right after that, they turned Jake babyface, and he is. I mean, he's over like Rover, feuding with Honky Tonk Man and, you know, continuing on. So, I mean, he was over as a babyface. The crowd really started to take to him.
Right. But you couldn't have had him against Hogan, even if you got 15%. Because those 15% would have been very vocal.
Yep.
Couldn't have done it.
That's why, you know, you had Hogan feuding with Big John Studd and Kamala and guys like that instead. Yeah, the monsters. He was not getting booed against those guys. Jake was almost like, this guy's kind of cool. Like, I kind of like what he's saying. Like, you know, questioning Hulkamania, questioning Hulk. He's very good. And doing the snake pit with Hulk. And obviously the crowd kind of react to Jake too positively, for sure.
Yeah.
When you look at Jake, I mean, obviously he had a long run in the WWF. I loved when he turns heel again and he's starting to do the trust me. Because, you know, whenever anybody says, like, trust me, you know, like, okay, this person is not full of shit. But he's saying it, like, so convincingly. You're like, man, this guy, he's up to something. Like, what do you mean, trust me? And just the way he would say it was, to me, it was, I don't know, that was my favorite Jake, is he was so, like, diabolical. Like, what an evil SOB. Trust me.
Yeah.
Like, shake your hand. He's like, trust me. And then you know he's got that look in his eye where, like, I'm going to stab you in the back as soon as you turn around.
That was Jake's persona was – it's right up there the best they've ever had in WWE.
the Macho Man feud, one of my all-time favorites. That is such a good feud. Do you remember the snake biting Macho and stuff? Do you remember all that? Okay. What did you think of that?
Boy, that's pretty. It took they had a lot of guts to do it. A lot of guts.
That's one of those things where if somebody's watching, like, oh, wrestling is fake. This snake is literally biting this guy's hand, and you see the blood coming out, and they can't get the snake off of his arm. It doesn't look fake to me. You know what I mean? Like, that was legit. That was nuts.
I had a snake bite me in the face.
Whoa.
Yeah, I guess Dusty in Fort Lauderdale.
What the hell happened?
I had handled me and Jake, you know, I told you about that guy. That had this, it was the Snake Master, Habuda Dean. He used to come with the snakes, and he had one big one. It was like 12 feet long. It was a python. And it was like a baby, it was like his kitten. But he had fed it a couple of days before. Usually he would bring them on the shows, not every night, but he'd bring them to the big shows down in South Florida. And he wouldn't feed them for 2 weeks, so they'd be docile. When they eat, they'd like to lay around and not do anything and get really aggressive. And he gave me the snake, and I just felt something different. The snake was squirming around, and I went out with Dusty, went to go get, you know, scared Dusty with a snake. And a snake turned back on me, like it came back to me and grabbed me in the face, right?
Oh, Jesus.
But yep. When he grabbed me in the face, all of a sudden, shit flew out of his ass of bones and fur of a rabbit and almost hit Dusty. In one way, I'm screaming, and the other way, I'm laughing. But you have to have that's a lot of gumption Randy had to do that.
That's crazy. What happened to your face, though, afterwards? Were you okay?
I had to get it. It was punctured, but not bad. You know, boa constrictors, what they do is they squeeze you to death. They don't eat you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
When you look at Macho Man doing that, it's crazy. But there's more to that story that Jake was talking about. Macho didn't trust the snake at first. So he said backstage, obviously, he said, you're doing it first.
Yeah.
You do it first.
It was a cobra. That's why.
Yeah.
He didn't believe that maybe they didn't milk him, get the poison out. So Macho wanted to take a chance.
The best is, though, everyone thinks Macho is crazy. Jake is just as crazy because he let him bite him without the cameras even being around.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe those two are both nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just love that feud, though, because it was so personal. Jake beat up Miss Elizabeth. You never kind of saw that stuff back then. You know, he knocked her over and pushed her and slapped her and stuff. Like,
right. You
never saw that kind of stuff. So everybody hated Jake. Everybody loved Macho. And then the cobra bites him. I mean, that was just awesome stuff. I mean, just stuff like that, you literally cannot forget within a million. If I wanted to, I could never forget that spot.
And you can't do that anymore either. You know what I mean?
Nope.
Cruelty to animals, abusive, you know, personal abuse. You can't do that.
So Jake does end up feuding with Undertaker as well. I feel like that was obviously Hogan got Undertaker over because he lost the title to him and they had that the title switch situation. But Jake kind of takes Undertaker to the next level and turning him babyface. So I feel like with Undertaker and Jake, maybe Jake doesn't get as much credit as maybe he should have with kind of launching Undertaker into that next phase in his career and like turning him babyface for, you know, basically many, many years he was a babyface.
Yeah, I agree with you too. I agree with you. I think that Jake doesn't get the credit he deserves overall. Because of the substance and the other problems that he had. There's always the other side of the coin, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
with him, he leaves WWF. He goes to WCW in 92, but he's out of shape. Like, he's not, you could tell he's starting to maybe drink too much. He's starting to lose it a little bit. His feud with Sting was good in certain aspects, but the in-ring stuff wasn't really that great unless he was in a multi-man match or in a great elimination match that him and Rick Rude and the Super Invader, a.k.a. Hercules, and Vader, and were a part of against the Steiners, Nikita, and Sting. But, and there were some tag matches he had, but one-on-one matches, not that strong. The big Halloween Havoc match with Sting wasn't that great, but it was built up. It's been the way old McDeal should have been great. What do you think was going on with him? Just the abuse, you know, the drug abuse and alcohol abuse problems started hitting around that time?
You can't burn the candle at both ends, you know. So, I mean, I really don't know what was going on with him then. I wasn't there. But, yeah, it had to be, I would think that would have been the combination.
When you look at, you know, what's going on with him and, like, the substance abuse stuff, okay, you know, he had those issues, but the WWF brings him back in 96 and 97. And you know what I mean? Like, he gets brought back. So it's like, okay, he found God. He's religious. Maybe he's over that stuff. He clearly wasn't over that stuff. But in between there, when he finds God, he ends up becoming the catalyst of another awesome wrestler. He becomes the catalyst of Stone Cold Steve Austin and Austin 316. So it's funny. It's like Jake has these little moments and like maybe they get forgotten over time or maybe they get overlooked. But if he doesn't return in 96, do we have Austin 316? Probably not, because where would he pull that from? He literally pulled that from Jake.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that interview too. I've seen it played on YouTube 1,000 times. Where also said it's Austin 316. Yeah, Jake doesn't get the credit he deserves. You're absolutely right.
I would think that that's just funny because I guess it was Doc Hendricks, a.k.a. Michael Hayes, was like, hey, by the way, he kind of did a religious thing. And, you know, obviously you're winning the King of the Ring, so you have to say something. I don't know if you want to pull from him or not, but just giving you the heads up. So then Austin says, you know, talk about your Psalms, talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whooped your ass. So it's like he kind of, you know, he pulled it from Jake. He got what Jake said. He was pulling the religion stuff out. So without Jake with Undertaker, without Jake with Austin, I mean, he played a pretty big role in developing a lot of these young guys into being megastars.
Yeah, we've said it again from the beginning till now. He didn't get the credit he deserved. And everybody that was really involved in the business, whether you're a wrestler or not, knew how great Jake was. And he made so many people. So now, as he becomes an elder statesman in the wrestling business, I love that people now recognize what he's done.
Very cool look back.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you were on his podcast, right? You went on his show.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that come about? How did that go?
He had one of his guys call me, and we did it. We had a great time reminiscing. It was great.
Did you talk mostly about Florida, or what did you talk about?
We talked about wrestling in general, but we talked about Florida. We talked about Bad Angle and St. Pete, where he almost got killed. And as we're going back to the dressing room, it was in St. Petersburg at the Bayfront Center. They had a balcony, and a guy yelled down, "Fuck Santa." And he was in a Santa Claus suit, and he jumped off the balcony. And he landed, and me and Jake watched him come down. We just sidestepped, he landed and broke both of his legs and both hips.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think the angle got some heat.
Jesus Christ. They got guys jumping off balconies after you guys. Yeah, a little bit of heat, right?
Yeah.
They must have loved that Dusty character.
They love Dusty character?
Yeah, they must have loved Dusty.
They thought Dusty was going over too. They thought Rhodes was going over too.
They're pissed that he didn't, obviously. Yeah.
Same thing. You're supposed to be pissed when the heel goes over.
Yep. Looking at Jake, obviously, you know, he many sporadic appearances over the, you know, the 2000s through the years, but my like shining moment for him, or what I was so happy of, that they put him in the Hall of Fame. They made him a big part of the Hall of Fame. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, yeah, you know, here's Jake. I mean, they really pumped it up, and they really pumped it up, even him on Raw and over the years and stuff. I mean, they made it a big deal. I thought that was a good thing on their part, because I feel like much deserved.
I think so, too. I think you're 100% right. They did a great job, and he was one, I believe, one of the pillars of the early company, and he brought them to great heights.
Do you think him in AEW has done anything? Because I felt like when he first came into AEW, and you remember he was smelling the ropes, and he's like, oh, man, I love that smell. It's like he was talking about things like that you'd be like, wow, that's freaking awesome. What an awesome promo by Jake. And he was kind of feuding with Cody and saying, I never liked your father. Like, really good stuff. And then, you know, managing Lantoy, but they haven't really done anything with him. Do you feel like underused? What do you think about him in AEW?
Well, what happened, I believe, is he got sick, remember? He had to have an oxygen tank.
Yeah, and the COVID stuff, yeah.
Yeah, the COVID knocked him down, and he had the oxygen tank, and that really knocked him for a loop.
Do you think, though, that's a good fit for him? Like, what do you think about AEW and Jake?
I think anywhere Jake goes, he improves the product.
You think they should be listening to him more? I know he's not really at all the shows, but maybe agenting or something of that nature?
I'm not sure how that works there. I mean, it would behoove anybody to listen to Jake. He's drawing a lot of money. But I don't know, and I'm just surmising this. Maybe Jake's health isn't the best. I don't want to get out that I said his health isn't good. I'm just saying he came off the COVID. He had it. He came off the oxygen. They know where to tap in his mind if they need it. He's right there.
So as far as Jake the Snake is concerned, give me his legacy. I know we're saying he's not, you know, maybe underappreciated a little bit, but just give me his legacy. What do you think? Great talker, great worker? I mean, just
one
give me...
One of the greatest heels of all time. One of the greatest heels of all times.
And like you said, top five talker of all time as well?
I mean, the whole package, top five. Worker, top five. Mind, top five. Talker, top five. Charisma. To me, Jake was as good as they get.
Is he back with Cheryl? Cheryl Roberts? Are they back together?
Yeah, I saw them in a restaurant. Yeah. Yeah, it was nice.
That's really interesting. Really full circle for him. Because obviously, you know, they were married in the 80s and got divorced. Because obviously he was going through a lot of problems. But that's awesome to kind of come back and circle back and get back together.
Yeah, it was nice to see that.
And I think everyone remembers Cheryl being on Rick Rude's tights back in those days and making Jake nuts. Like, great stuff back then. You probably can't do that stuff anymore, but that was just so great back then.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that stuff today.
To me, Jake, one of the best talkers ever, one of the greatest workers ever. Like you said, psychology on point. Everything about Jake, to me, was great. They had that great documentary. Did you see his biography on A&E, by the way?
Yes, I did. It was good.
Very good. Very emotional, too. Yeah. You know what I mean? They definitely brought in some emotions to it as well. Did you happen to see the Dusty one?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I was going to watch that sometime this week. Yep.
Yeah, they're very, very good as well. But let's hit the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Kevin. Oh, and you can follow Kevin, of course, on Instagram at Taskmaster Dogs. Kevin, what else you got going on?
Well, the big one is at the end of May, the 26th and 27th, I'm going to be down in Florida for the renewal of Championship Wrestling from Florida. And the filming is going to be for 2 days. And I'll be interested in seeing my friends coming down to see it. It's going to be kind of emotional to see it. And it looks like they're going to get it on TV. So come down and see me and say hello.
Nice. Very, very cool. You love that Florida area. You can't get enough of Florida, huh?
Oh, yeah, well, I've lived there four-fifths of my life, and, you know, I like the fish. I like the dive. So it's nice.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code TASKMASTER to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code TASKMASTER and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. So don't forget to use that promo code TASKMASTER. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie. Three, two, one. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. So join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Sullivan20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in the Shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxers as free gifts to give to you to keep all your goodies stored nice and comfortably to go along with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside that Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2023 looks to be. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Sullivan20 20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that promo code Sullivan20. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code, Taskmaster, to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code Taskmaster to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash as it is a great casual time killer.